So what is your impression of me from the last podcast?
I'm not going to do it again.
Do it again.
Nope.
It was special. It was like, was that it?
It's called vocal fry.
Everybody does vocal fry.
When things aren't great, you self-isolate. It's the social distance.
You know that I'm very self-conscious about my speaking voice in general. So
great.
Thanks
well,
for that.
We'll just know that I listen to it in depth every time we record a podcast.
I truly don't know why you're still dating me.
So the real question is, why do you continue making me do this podcast?
I do it for the listeners. Hey, everybody out there. Welcome to the Social Distance Podcast, sponsored by James and Ashley.
Well, we're thrilled at the number of followers.
And don't forget, we have an Instagram for all of your questions about what life is like in the middle of Manhattan right now and what you want us to talk about.
This Instagram, which I know because you tag me in things, it seems like an Instagram of cute photos of us being a cute couple.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to. It's just to give episode recaps.
I understand. No, yeah, I get that.
But do you think I should go another tactic? Oh, I could just make the name of the episode. I can just make a cute little. We got to pick a font that's like our theme font.
Like not Helvetica.
I don't know fonts at all. I think you know that about me.
You know Wingdings.
Why would I know that? What is that?
Everybody knows Wingdings.
Because it's fun to say.
No, Wingdings is that
I know
weird
Times
font
New Roman or
in Microsoft
New.
Word you'd click on because the letters became not letters.
That's right.
So you changed
Why
the
did
Wingdings.
That exist?
Do you don't like remember what's messages. The font that you would use when you're writing a paper in school and
Times New Roman.
And you're only at 10 pages and it's supposed to be a 12-page paper? What do you switch your font to?
I only remember Times New Roman, Courier New.
There it is.
It was Courier New.
Courier New. You do Courier New in 12.
Mm-hmm.
Is much larger than Times New Roman in 12.
And then you like space it like 1.2 so they can't really tell that it's not like.
I would never cheat in that way.
Oh, just in the font way. Okay.
For me, cool. I typically had to put it back in Times New Roman just so I could fit it all in 12 pages.
Oh, God, because so you just had so much to say.
And so many things.
Well.
So you just had your interview with Lana Kay.
I did. I was on an Instagram live. It was very fun. It was just the two of us for an hour. It just kind of felt like we were having drinks together at happy hour and talking about our lives and careers, which, you know, really riveting stuff for our audience.
Listen,
I had a lot of like knowledge.
I'm a little bit worried that we're about to have another interview of like, oh, you're not working either. So hopefully she's been up to things, right?
She's always up to things.
Okay.
She was filming a TV show, which I think kept filming during like when things got shut down.
We'll talk to her
it's
about
in Florida.
That.
Do you want to call her?
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Let's see if she answers.
Hi.
Hi, girl.
Yeah.
You're at your apartment in Midtown?
We are. Both of us. So.
Alexa, set a timer for 30 minutes. Hey, Becca, I'm going to go upstairs to record this, but I'll be back down in a little bit. Are you cool to chill with the dogs? Thank you for doing that. If you get bored or feel like you have to go, don't feel like you have to hang out if you get bored. Okay.
Wait, who are you with?
My friend Becca is here. She lives next door. She's 11. She's awesome. She helped me make some cupcakes.
So you're just living the domestic dream in New Jersey?
Yes.
We have different Siris, Jenna. Like my Siri is the regular Siri, and then Ashley's Siri is a British guy.
It's a British dude.
She changed
so
it.
So I have to say, hi, Siri.
She doesn't have
set
to.
My timer.
She just chooses to do that constantly. But whenever we're driving somewhere and there's directions, we just love this British guy trying to say
Boulevard.
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 And on Country Road, bear right.
Yeah.
Either of you have Waze. I think that's really fun about Waze, you guys, is that you can set it to boy band and he like sings to you. He's like, hazard reported ahead.
Oh my gosh. Next road trip.
James, since we're going to be friends forever, I have to tell you that my name is Jenna Claire and not Jenna. Mm-hmm. It's two.
I'm sorry. My sister-in-law is Jenna and that's, you know.
It's J-I-N-N-A. And I've...
J-I?
Yeah.
I don't know any J-I, but you know, in the South, it's like definitely a Southern thing. You know, my grandma says it hollers out the window better, right? Because then you can go, Jana Claire.
Oh my God. Exactly I could be talking to my cousin right now. I love this.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
James,
totally.
Where did you grow up?
Arkansas.
Arkansas. Oh my gosh, you totally had like Mary Catherine's and Anne Marie's in your kindergarten class, right?
My dad and my brother are both named Ray Guy.
No way. Okay, so you're no stranger to double names.
Well, I was until you corrected me.
The more names, the merrier.
So, Jenna Claire, how do you guys know each other?
Oh my gosh, I was hoping you would ask this question. 1 month after I graduated college, I married the love of my life, Eric Moffat. And 1 month after that, I got cast in my first ever Equity show, the first national tour of Flashdance the musical. That's right, folks, Flashpants.
Were you original cast or were you... Replacement.
Dirty Dancing. I replaced Kelly Felthouse in the role of Gloria. Gloria.
Oh, yeah.
Kelly and I did Legally Blonde together when she booked it.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, where did you do Legally Blonde?
Kate Playhouse.
That's amazing. I've totally watched B-roll from that show. Since you brought up the Kelly connection, I think something is that's cool is, you know, just what a small world it is, the world of musical theater. And my first audition in New York, funny enough, was for Glinda. And I wouldn't get the role until maybe five auditions later. But I made it to callbacks. It was for the Glinda understudy for tour. And I went to the dance call and it was me and two other girls. And the two other girls got the part and I didn't. So I think Nikki Bonny went on to join, I want to say the first or second national tour of Wicked as the Glinda understudy. And then Kelly went and filled the other position on the other tour. But what was crazy is that then Kelly had to leave her role as Gloria to go be the Glinda understudy. And so then the next thing I auditioned for was to replace Kelly. So I was like, oh, wow. You know, I'd only been in New York for a month at this point, but I was like, I see some overlap here. Back to Ashley Arsimov. So by the time I joined the tour, a lot of those people had been there since the beginning. I came in with a slew of a couple other replacements. And just when things were, you know, we were kind of reaching a lull there, and was it with Wisconsin, I don't know. But then we got this bright ray of sunshine, this fun. Ashley brings the fun. Ashley brings the party. No. Ashley brings the pizzazz. And I had just never met anyone quite like her before. And I have to say, since I've never met anyone quite like her, a few things that I love about Ashley. She is passionately loyal. She is one of the dearest friends I've ever had because she is someone who cares. She is someone who supports you in more ways than one. I have some examples. And she's someone who really shows up. She makes you feel celebrated. She makes you feel special. She makes you feel cared for. There was one season in particular post-tour where I was living in Binghamton, New York, which is several hours outside of the city. So I'd say on the worst days, I was taking a Greyhound bus in, hustling over to a dance call, maybe getting cut. You know, Dames at Sea wasn't the show for me. And then getting back on the bus and going home. And it was always Ashley who, you know, is conveniently located, I hope it's okay that I say, pretty close, fairly close to Port Authority. And she was always like, come here, take a shower, put on your makeup, wear my tap shoes to your Newsies audition. Oh, you got it. That's great. So just like helping me book jobs, supporting me professionally and personally. And yeah, I call her my fairy godmother because it was like she was always there to help me iron out some moves in a dance combination, or, you know, offer her empty bed to me to crash so I could stay in town so I could do a callback the next day or whatever. She's just always been a bright shining light in my life, an example of what I think a good friend should ideally be. Yeah, I love you.
That's it.
You like made me cry.
So, Jenna Claire, you're right. Every cast needs an Ashley Arsimov.
True.
She makes it better.
And she's also the one that, like, when we would go out to, you know, have a drink after a show, she would, you know, be like, wear this dress. Oh, let me do your eye makeup. Let me curl your hair. You taught me so much about hair and makeup, and all the coolest things that I have in my wardrobe were previously Ashley's.
So, that's true.
Yeah, because I have three brothers. Yeah, she's definitely like the big sister I never had.
Oh.
And you're the little sister I always wanted. cry. Okay. What are you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say not only a half hour ago, I walked into the bathroom and her curling iron melted something.
Oh, shut up.
Okay. So back to podcast substance. What were you working on when this whole mess started?
Well, I was playing Glinda in Wicked on Broadway. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Broadway or Wicked?
It's a really good show. I think you would like it. I started as the Glinda standby on Broadway, and I did that for about 16 months. And then I went on tour, and I did the role full-time for 20 months, which was a long time, but it was really wonderful. And then I came back to New York and took over the role on Broadway, and I did it for about a year. And then I did my last performance on March 1st. And then I flew to Florida, actually, to film a TV show. And then while I was in Florida, Broadway shut down on March 12th. So it's crazy because it was really weird being outside of the city while hearing the news about what was happening and, you know, how people were being affected and how the city was being affected. And we were kind of, you know, I was getting email updates from producers and company managers kind of being like, everything's okay. We're going to keep going. The show's still on. We're still selling at 90%. And then we're closing. So that was jarring, especially, again, being experiencing it all from afar. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to come back home after a few weeks, it was weird just kind of, you know, this place that I went to where I spent so much of my time, all of a sudden not going at all. And then also having a lot of my things at the theater. I think it was maybe a month or two. And then they were like, you know, if we can come and in assigned increments and I'll wear masks and I'll be socially distanced and pick up things from, you know, our office space, essentially.
Were you on a leave? You were on a temporary leave, right? For the show.
Had 3 weeks. I had three weeks off.
Okay.
To go film this show, but I mm-hmm. still had quite a bit of time still left in my contract. So yeah, I was just going to come back and pick up where I left off.
How have the producers been in touch with you about what's going on?
They've done a good job of communicating, and my understanding, I think for every Broadway show, aside from the ones that have closed, mm-hmm. RIP Frozen, yeah. is that the contracts, specifically the principal contracts anyway, are just suspend and extend. So it's just putting everything on hold. And yeah, just pick up where you left off whenever Broadway resumes. And of course, that timetable has been pushed a number of times. But, you know, it's hard. Everyone's making the best calls they can at the time, but nobody can see into the future. So, you know, it was April, and then it was July, and then it was September, and then it was November, and then we were hearing January, and now it's looking more like the spring. And some people are saying, you know, that might be even optimistic because of all the things. But yeah, I remain hopeful. And I guess my dream, though I don't get to control the outcome here, is that Broadway comes back. There's a revival. It's like the roaring 20s all over again. And mm-hmm. that, yeah, our community can just come back more rested, more creatively inspired. And then in light of all the conversations happening, I hope just more united than ever. That would be my dream. Thank you. I'm Miss America.
Is that official policy, though, on Broadway, is that all these contracts are simply on pause?
I can't speak for every Broadway show and every Broadway
contract. Oh, so every show will be different.
I can only tell you about mine. Yeah. I do think that's generally what's happening. Okay. But I guess we'll see.
Real quick, Jenna Claire, what are you doing until you return to Wicked?
So this is really fun to me anyway. My friend Mary Kate Morrissey and I decided to start an online virtual music theater school. And Mary Kate and I played opposite each other in Wicked on tour for a year. She was my Elphaba, and we have a really special relationship. And definitely on the road, I felt like our offstage friendship informed our onstage relationship and vice versa. And I think we just felt like we were a really great team and had a beautiful partnership there for a year and loved working together. And I think really grew from performing opposite one another and always dreamed about other ways that we could keep, you know, working together and what would that look like. And I think for a long time, we kind of thought that maybe we would go back to the cities we had toured through previously, but playing Glinda and Alphaba doesn't allow for a lot of downtime or tourist activities. So like maybe we'd go back and, you know, sing at a pub and do the tourist things we never got to do in Toronto or San Antonio. And so that's kind of what we thought it would look like. And then of course this happened, and she was on playing Janice on the Mean Girls tour. So we had both been teaching individually, but we decided to come together and we crafted, you know, this core music theater class, and we've crafted together some level two classes since then. And so then we launched our school in June, and our dream was that we could start with two classes of eight, so 16 kids. We wanted to keep the class sizes small and intimate, so it was kind of a safe space, and then also that kids could, you know, have time to work individually and get one-on-one attention, and we could get to know them. And so anyways, we had our first month, we had almost 100 kids audition, which was
wow,
crazy.
That's so cool.
We had 29 students our first month. We did four classes, and then this month we are doing seven classes. We have 50 students. So yeah, just dreaming about what this looks like moving forward has been really fun, and I feel like I'm learning so much. I feel like it's growing me as an artist and as a teacher, and it's fun even going back through, you know, old curriculum from my days at Elon University and getting ideas and reminding myself of, you know, certain things that helped me as a young performer, and then just getting to work together. I think what's been the most surprising part is, you know, we thought that this would be a great way to spend our time during this downtime, you know, giving back to the next generation, and then also, you know, of course, a way to make some money, right, while we're not working. But what we didn't expect was just how meaningful it would be, you know, really watching these kids listen and learn and grow, and learning from our students and learning from each other, Mary Kate and I, and growing as teachers. And just, you know, we knew we liked working together, but I think we've been surprised too just how much we really love teaching together, because that's a challenge too, right? You're combining two different teaching styles. We went to different schools, we played different kinds of parts and had different experiences, so you're bringing that and making it a melting pot, and that's been really cool.
What is the name of it, so our listeners can find you guys?
Yeah, it's called Double Name Witches.
It is. Okay,
so
great.
These are our Double Name Witches summer sessions that we've been
very
having.
Very cool.
We're probably going to rebrand and launch for the fall some semester-long courses.
I'm so proud of you, babe.
And what a unique time to learn from professionals, you know, and I'm not saying just Mary-Kate and I, but any professional. There's lots of opportunities to reach out to people whose work you admire, because everyone is, you know, for the most part, experiencing a moment of rest.
I love you, Claire, so much. So much fun to talk to you.
I love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
I'm just so overwhelmed.
Like, there's so much kindness
it's
happening.
It's overwhelming. You just like, she really brings out the best in people. Mm. Now, welcome to segment two. What we saw on the internet?
The internet says New York is going nuts, and we have friends texting and checking in about gun violence and the riots.
My parents think that it's just like we're gonna get shot if it's just chaos. Walk out the business.
So yes, gun violence for sure up. 44th Street, where I live, like they said, it was like the Wild West 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Craziness. However, it is not the Wild West all the time. And even you're like, oh my God, crime's up 180. I mean, crime was super low.
Yeah.
Like super. So even if it's been doubled, obviously that is cause for alarm. Let's not let it double again. But it's not like the streets are running wild and rampant, right?
We know the characters.
We know the
now.
Characters. The pile of
the
poop,
dude in the chair,
and the bus stop cafe,
bus stop bar, and poop corner.
Poop corner.
I don't think Methica is gonna attack me anytime soon.
I saw her today. She had a new little outfit on.
Well, she's had that like crushed velvet little dress
on. This looks
for,
fairly
like, the
clean, at
weeks.
Least.
She would probably love a lot of like the outfits that I have that I was going
to
get.
Do you
want
to bring her an outfit?
I think I should bring her like one of my little furs. Yeah. Although it's pretty hot for a fur. Maybe bring her like a sparkly crop top.
Do it.
I mean, she has negative 10% body fat.
Yeah.
Because of the myth.
That's right.
But yeah, I feel safe-ish. Oh, and there's that demon guy. So the guy who's always wearing a super terrifying clown demon mask. Like, it reminds me of American Horror Story, Tipsy the Clown.
Yep.
And always shirtless, carrying a bag of even scarier masks, mm-hmm. and carrying a super huge
speaker,
yep. blasting like Marilyn Manson level, yeah. offensive to the ears. So he's kind of like right up and down 42nd Street. Mm-hmm. That's another one of the characters. We saw him chatting with a cop last night.
Yeah.
So, hey, everybody out there looking at the internet, thinking we're in the Wild West. So we're more like in Zombieland.
And then segment three, what did we watch last night?
Oh, we watched The Departed.
Oh, that was so good.
So good, but it's so painful to watch.
It's tough seeing Martin Sheen get thrown off the roof.
No, it's so hard to watch Leo go through all of this stuff when Matt Damon, you know what I mean? It's such a beautiful juxtaposition. Wait, how did it end though? You said that there was a twist.
There's a twist.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, kills Matt Damon.
Everybody died except Mark Wahlberg, right?
Yeah, and the therapist.
Oh yeah, how did her story end?
She left Matt Damon after she found out that he was in on it. I guess she has Leo's kid later on.
Leo lives on. Hmm. How many movies do you think he's died in?
So he died in Titanic.
Romeo and Juliet, obviously Departed. Does he die in The Revenant? I don't know.
God,
he
that movie, I had trouble making through.
So. I mean, he crawls inside of a horse carcass. I mean, that might as well be dying.
How many movies has Leo died in?
I wonder who, like, what actor has died the most in movies? Because you thought it was funny how
like
the
Steve
actor
Buscemi.
In Hamilton who plays Philip in Act Two. Who do you play in Act One?
Yeah, he like gets to die twice.
Yeah, he dies twice within the show. All right, you look up who died the most. I'm looking up how many times Leo died. So when this was written, he died in 9 out of his 36 films. I feel like he's been in way more than 36 films. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about The Quick and the Dead.
Oh yeah, he dies in that.
Total Eclipse? I've never heard of that. Titanic, The Departed. Oh, Blood Diamond, J. Edgar. That looks terrible. Oh, Django Unchained. How do we forget that? We just rewatched that recently. The Great Gatsby. Should have known that. Is that what you found? Danny Trejo? Trejo?
Yeah, he seems to have died in a lot of movies. Like 65, Danny Trejo.
So the people who have died in the most movies are not big stars that you would think. Is that what I'm learning?
Yeah, I guess so. This guy, Sean Bean from Lord of the Rings, he's apparently died quite a bit.
Wait, wasn't he Game of Thrones? Wasn't he Ned Stark?
Yeah, he also died there. He always dies. Mm. But I just love this comment at the bottom. The first thing was Chuck Norris is the only actor with a negative number of deaths per film.
When things aren't great, you self-isolate. It's the social distance.
I think what we didn't expect, which has been a delightful surprise, is just how... Oh, oh. No.